pleasure to welcome your assignments to give them their service this evening to the Lord of the Rings. The assignment is known to many of you as a much beloved teacher in the Smichas Chaver program, which and with whom and with which he maintains a connection with many of you. And whenever he comes to town, there's always an excitement about seeing if we can chafashir. And to me, he's known as one of the great Talmid Chachamim that our yeshiva has produced, and now is Marvitz Torah with great success in Los Angeles. And the call there, and therefore it's a great kavush for us to hear the service from Simon this evening.
Okay, good evening. It's Birshus, the Rabbanim, Rabbi Neuberger, and the older Rabbanim. It's nice to see some familiar faces as always, and also some Panim Chadashos. It's nice to meet as well, and the whole shul is Panim Chadashos to me. So it's a zchus to come. It's such a beautiful new edifice, for it was already such a beautiful kehila. So it's a zchus to be back here in this new form and fashion. I was asked to give Divrei Hisorus, as the Rav just mentioned. So whenever a person is asked to speak, so they have to always figure out what exactly is wanted of them. What exactly is the desire? What do people want to hear? So when you hear the word Divrei Hisorus, you have to obviously say over Divrei Hisorus. Okay, so what does Hisorus mean? What is a Hisorus? What does that word actually mean? So the truth is, the way I see it, the way I understand it, the word Hisorus does have one, it has multiple, but it has one very literal meaning when it's translated from Hebrew to English, that I think it's true to its true core definition. It could be expansive. There could be other definitions as well. But I think the one catch-all term that would be the definition of Hisorus is awakening. To awaken someone, to be misorer, is to be awakened. Hisorus is, divrei Hisorus are words of awakening. We're awakening ourselves. But when you switch to the English, this is true in every word in the Hebrew language, because the Hebrew language is created by the Borei Olam, and it has so much profundity, so much depth, so much brilliance to each word. It packs so much that we can't possibly express it in English. But the word awakening can really go in two directions, and I think both can be encompassed, or both different connotations in different contexts of the Hisorus. Hisorus can first of all mean awakening in the sense that I think we tend to think of it, which is almost like an epiphany. You're awakened to some new idea. There's some idea you didn't know of, some concept you weren't familiar with, and all of a sudden you're awakened, you're misorer, there's Hisorus. You have an epiphany, you have a brilliant new insight. That's one type of Hisorus. But there's another type of Hisorus that's also encompassed by the word awakening, but it doesn't mean something new. It doesn't mean something fresh. It's not something you just discovered. It's a revival, or a renewal, or a restoration, or a resurgence of a previously known idea. It may be something you knew very well. It may be something with which you were intimately familiar, but it may have fallen asleep over the years. It may have gone to bed, so to speak. And when we're misorer, when we are awakened, we're really reawakening ourselves. We're reacquainting ourselves with something which is already known to us, something which we intuit, something which is basic to us, but something which nonetheless has become buried and is buried in a deep slumber. I think the words that B'li Neder Mirtzah Hashem will share tonight certainly fall into that second camp of Hisorus. We're not saying chidushim. The divrei, musar, hashkafa, chizuk that we're going to uncover tonight are not new. They're ideas with all, which all of us are familiar with, throughout our lives we've been familiar with, but nonetheless they need Hisorus, they need reawakening, they need revival, they need restoration, and maybe through gleaning some Divrei Chiddush in terms of Divrei Torah, uncovering some ground in terms of some beautiful words in the Rambam, maybe that will just awaken our spirit. It will help us remember what we're supposed to have known all along, and maybe it'll do the trick to keep us awake for a little bit longer. So let's learn together a couple of words in the Rambam that you must have heard over the last month a few times already. But let's learn them carefully and let's pick up on some nuanced details. The Rambam tells us in the very beginning of Hilchos Ta'anios, Mitzvos Esei Min HaTorah. There's a positive commandment, a big little charge, Lizok Ulahariya B'chatzotzros, to blow the trumpets and to cry out in tefillah, Al Kol Tzara Shetavol Al Tzibor. Anytime there's a calamity, anytime there's a tragedy that befalls the Jewish community, we need to blow shofar, we need to blow trumpets, we need to cry out in tefillah. That's our response to that tragedy. Kolomar, skip the line, Kol Davar Sheyatzer Lachem, Kegon, Batzores, V'dever, V'arbe, whether it be a famine, a drought, pestilence, whatever the case might be, a plague, uchiyotzebehen, or the like, anything of that nature, that type of calamity to the community, za'aku alehen vihariyu. You are charged, we are told, we have to call out, we have to scream out to the Ribono Shel Olam and blow the trumpets. That's our form of response to the tragedy that befalls the Jewish community. That's what the Rambam tells us. But the Rambam continues and says, lest you think that this is some catch-all magical fix, this is some skula, that you put on this type of clothing, you act in this sort of way, you blow this kind of trumpet, and the tsar will go away, the tragedy will dissipate. Lest you think that, you should realize that is not what's going on over here. These are ingredients as part of a bigger recipe. V'davar zeh, says the Rambam, midarchei hatshuvahu. These actions, these processes, they are a means, not an ends unto themselves. They are not the goal. They are not the charge with which we're really charged. The real charge, the real mitzvah, in a time when the tzibur faces some tragedy, some calamity, some threat to the community, all that we're asked to do, the main goal of those moments for the Jewish community, tshuva. These actions of davening, of blowing trumpets, of crying out to Hashem, fasting when we fast, those are ways in which we arrive at tshuva. They are made darkei hatshuva. They are paths towards tshuva, but they are nothing more than instruments, vehicles leading us on that path. Shebizman shetavo tzara, when a tragedy befalls the community, via zako ala, via riyu, you blow the trumpets, you cry out, yedu hakol, shebiglal ma'aseim ha-ra'im, hura lahen. When we do this, when we respond in this way, it will awaken us. It will remind us that biglal ma'aseinu ha-ra'im, hura lanu. It's because of how we faltered over the years. It's because of our various missteps as individuals and as a community that these tragedies have befallen us. It's because of what we've done wrong, the mistakes we've made, that we have these sorrows in the community. That's what these actions remind us of. V'zehu sheyigrom lahem l'hasir atzar me'alehen. If you realize that, if you do tshuva, if you repent, and you realize that everything was caused by what we've done wrong, and if we fix our ways, then it's not some magic fix. It's not some skula. There's nothing superstitious. If you remove the cause of the problem will go away. If we do a proper tshuva, and yes, we use tefillah, sa'aka, we use trumpets, we use fasting, all of those things as instruments, as vehicles to that tshuva. But if we perform that tshuva, the tzara would disappear. That's the promise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The charge is tshuva. These actions are midarchei tshuva. And the first thing the Rambam is telling us here, so critical, so obvious, but so critical and so important, the way he says it, is that we tend to think that the world has a certain path that it goes on. There's a certain series of events, there are occurrences in the world, each one dictates the next. And because we fall into a lifestyle of living by realizing there's nature, there's cause, there's effect, all of these things happen in the world, we put ourselves to sleep. We stop thinking that ultimately there's only one cause of what happens in the world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in response to our actions. What we do will be determinant of how we're treated. How we act will result in how we're treated by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We lull ourselves into a sleep about this, but that's the cold, hard truth that the Rambam is telling us here. And he doubles down in the next halacha. Listen to the way he says it here. Aval, the opposite case, aval. Im lo yizaku. If you don't do these things, Ella, what do you say instead? You don't blow trumpets, you don't fast, you don't cry out. What do you say? Yomru, davar zemi minaga ola me'eralanu. The world is going as normal. This is the path of the world. Things are happening as they're supposed to happen. Vitzarazo nikra nikris. Coincidence. These events happen. Tragedies happen. Famines happen. These things happen. Harezo derech achzarius. It's terrible. It's cruelty to act like that. V'garemes lahem lidabek b'maaseim harayim. And it causes us to cling to those evil ways. And the Rambam continues very frighteningly and says, if you continue in your evil ways, it's going to add more tzaros. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to have to add more tzaros to our world, Rachmana Litzlan. So it's counterintuitive, it's counterproductive. And therefore the Rambam says the alternative is what we're supposed to take. The path we're supposed to take is the Derech HaTshuva. What the Rambam spells out for us over here is something absolutely, again, fundamental. No matter how obvious it is, it's so fundamental to review. There are causes in the world. There are effects in the world. It is possible that there could be a flood, there could be a drought, there could be a famine because of global warming, because of climate change. It is possible that there could be a terrorist attack or a war that breaks out because of geopolitical tensions or regional instability or a military, instability in terms of taking care of the country. There's a million things you could attribute the cause to. And you could say that anti-Semitism, as it rises in America and across the world, is because politics, is because there's too many Jews that are modernizing on campus. You can make up a million things. All of those things are factors. All those things are true, but they're not the factor. They're not the cause. Ultimately, there's a metaphysical cause to everything in our world. Ultimately, our ma'asim hara'im, our actions, if they're good, for better, and if not, the opposite, cause what occurs in this world. And there's a more insidious, there's a more subtle, and kimeduma, it's sometimes even more poisonous, approach that people take that's similar in terms of attributing what happens to the wrong types of causes that Rav Shach pointed out during the Yom Kippur War in 1973. Rav Shach, he gave this speech multiple times. It's recorded by Rav Moshe Mordechai Schulzinger. But he said very, very poignantly, very, very straight, and it's so obvious when he says it. It's so beautiful and so obvious. He says there's another type of instance where people attribute things to coincidence. It sounds firmer, it seems more spiritual, but you'll see in a second, it's not really any different. Sometimes when a terrible tragedy befalls the community, or when there's some, impending doom, or when a personal calamity is so grave that it impacts the entirety of a community, so sometimes people respond by throwing their hands up, and they say to the Ribbono Shel Olam something that sounds very correct, theologically. They say, Lo machshevosai machshevoseichem. Lo darcheichem darachai. Hashem says, you can't understand me, you don't have the same ways as me. And we say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we don't understand. These tsaros, these tragedies, these depressing situations, we can't possibly understand them. They are beyond us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you gave this to us, we accept it, we're makabel, but we can't possibly understand. Or the alternative, another spin on this, is something terrible happens and everyone responds, oh, chevle Mashiach. It can't be that Mashiach's not coming. I mean, the world can't be this dark. Life can't be this challenging unless it's the birth pangs, it's the beginning of Mashiach coming around. And Rav Shach said, that sounds frum. It sounds philosophically strong, but it's a cop-out. It's a cop-out. It's saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're sending me a message and I'm deflecting. I'm saying, oh, if there's such a hard time in my life, must be there's some light at the end of this tunnel. Must be that Mashiach is coming. Must be that I can't understand. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you can't understand why and how and when, but you better understand that I'm talking to you. You better understand that I'm sending you a message. These tragedies, these calamities are certainly talking to the Jewish people. And a person who throws up his hands and says, I can't possibly understand, is also, in another way, saying, Tzara zo nikra nikres. This is minaga olam. The path of Jewish history leads us to this point because Mashiach is coming. There has to be pain before Mashiach. The Brisker Rav, Revel Soloveitchik, said that if you look, there's a nevuah in Yonah HaNavi. Every nevuah, he pointed out, every nevuah is Ladoros. Every nevuah is Lisha and Ladoros. So he says, if you look in Yonah, the story, so we're told that Yonah is sitting on a boat, and all of a sudden there's a crazy storm that's racking and ravaging this boat, throwing it back and forth. And people start to look around and say, what's the cause? Like, what's happening over here? Why is there such a stormy sea? We're about to sink. And Yonah is told of this reality, and he could have responded in the following way. He could have said, yeah, global warming. I mean, of course it's a stormy sea. There's a lot going on in the climate these days. Of course there's going to be a stormy sea. Or he could have said, more reasonably, there's 100 Gaisha sailors on this boat. Probably not Minat Tzadike, Chassidi Omas Olam, these guys. I know what Hashem's trying to send. He's trying to send a message, mental note to self, don't hang out with Chever like this anymore. The danger over here is you come on a boat with a bunch of Rishayim, a bunch of non-Jewish Rishayim who are going to get us all drowned in the ocean. But what does Yonah say? Bisheli hasar hazeh. This storm, it's attributable to me. It's because of me. Says the Brisker Rav, that was a nevuah ledoros. That every time a Jew sees some challenge, every time a Yid perceives some calamity, some tragedy, is struggling with something in their life, they have to realize, Bisheli hasar hazeh. This is because of me. This is something that I need to respond to. I'm part of the problem, and I have a role in the resolution. I'm able to help solve this issue because it's attributable to me along with everyone else. But if you read the Rambam one more time, you'll notice one word that does not fit this equation. V'davar zem, the halacha gimel, aval, im lo yizaku, v'lo yariyu. You don't do these things. You don't do these actions. You don't do tshuva. Ela yomru, davar zem minaga olam ira lanu. Coincidence, that's the way of the world. Vitzarazo nikra nikres. It happens, it happens. How does the Rambam describe that? Harezo derech achzarius. The word achzarius we translated very fleetingly before. It means cruelty. Which means if a person responds and sees things happening in the world, a famine, a drought, a war, a terrorist attack, and they think, this is the way the world is, geopolitics, climate change, regional instability. They are acting with derech achzarius, with cruelty. Are they wrong? Yeah, they're wrong. Are they, I don't know, spiritually not in check? Yeah, they're not really in check spiritually. Are they misunderstanding the way the world runs? Sure, they're misunderstanding the world. Are they cruel? They're achzarim? It's achzarius? How is that cruel? A person may feel very sad about the tragedy. A person may be trying to help the community get back on its feet. A person may be contributing tzedakah to help families who were affected by the famine to get back on their feet and get back into their regular flow of life. They're not achzari. They're not cruel. They just don't attribute that they are a cause, that they're part of the problem. They think the world goes this way, and therefore they identify with the challenge. They identify with the sadness. They try to help the people around them. What's cruel about that? Why is that considered cruelty? So I think the answer lies in trying to re-understand the word achzarius. Maybe we're mistranslating. And if we're trying to understand it, then maybe the way to do that is to first try to understand its opposite. The word that is the antonym, so to speak, the opposite of achzarius in the Hebrew language is rachmanus. Rachmanus. So we translate rachmanus as mercy. That I have mercy on someone. But the truth is the Maharal says in one place that that is a wrong translation. That is incorrect. Rachmanus does not mean mercy. He says rachmanus means to merge, to connect with someone else. When a person truly connects with another person, that lends to rachmanus the way we use it colloquially. That lends to having mercy on them. But the root word, the root midah of rachmanus, means to connect to someone, to become very close to someone. The truth is Rav Hirsch says this in Chumash. Earlier, Rishonim said it as well, but Rav Hirsch says it very beautifully in Parshas Miketz. He says the word rachmanus, the shoresh, the root of the word, is resh ches mem. Resh ches mem spells rechem. A rechem is a womb. Says Rav Hirsch, listen to this is beautiful. Rav Hirsch says that when a person really has mercy on someone, when can a person really love and feel that mercy for someone else? When they feel like they're part of them. A mother who hosts a baby in their womb, who holds that fetus in the rechem, can truly exhibit rachmanus on that child because they're one with the child. And, says Rav Hirsch, brothers who come from the same womb, who come from the same mother, they can truly be merachim on each other as well because they have that midah of rachmanus, of being bound together, like Maharal said, of merging, of connecting one with the other. The rachmanus, the mercy that we display, is really just a manifestation of the root midah, of being connected, of seeing the connection, of seeing the equivalence between two people, of seeing how we're on the same page and we're together, rechem, in one womb, like brothers, that leads to rachmanus. If achzarius is the opposite, then what achzarius means is not cruelty. Listen to this. Achzarius doesn't mean cruelty. It means estrangement, alienation, separation. Rav Hirsch says this also in Chumash, in Parshas Ha'azinu. The word achzari or achzarius is not common in Chumash. It shows up a few times in Nach, but in Chumash it's not common. So Rav Hirsch struggles to find a shorish, to find a root for the word achzarius. So in Parshas Ha'azinu, he says he doesn't think there's one root. It's unbelievable. He says he thinks that the word achzarius or achzar is actually a conjunction. It's a combination of two words. Ach-zar. Ach with a chaf sofis, not with a ches. Ach-zar. Just a stranger. Unbelievable. Rav Hirsch says, when a person looks at someone across from him and says, ach-zar. He's just a stranger. He's not really related to me. He's not part of me. He's in a different movie. He's in a different story. We're not connected. If a person can say about the guy across the room from him, achzar, I have nothing to do with him, that's achzarius. That's estrangement. That's alienation. That's separation to the point where you're not related. You have nothing to do with the person in front of you. And what does that lead to ultimately? Cruelty. How can someone be so cold, so callous, so careless about how they treat someone only if they think that person's a stranger? If they felt like they were in one rechem with this person, if they felt so connected to the person, they'd have rachmanus. They would love and show mercy. But the second that person is achzar, is just a separate entity, distinct, a stranger, then you can exhibit achzarius. Achzarius dwells in the space between two people. That's achzarius. Says the Rambam, halfly the fellow, listen to this. Says the Rambam, if a person says that there are things happening in the world that are scary, that are frightening, that I cry about at night, that I try to help fix, but he does not connect the dots, he does not realize that those tsaros have to do with me. He gives the tzedakah, he says the tehillim, he goes on a mission to be mechazik the people in Eretz Yisrael, he goes to sleep every single night with a wet pillow, wet with tears of grief, of despair for what's happening in Eretz Yisrael. But as he goes to sleep, he thinks, ugh, what's happening to them? It's so sad, I have to help them. What's going on over there? If a person goes to sleep and says, the world is a terrible place and I'm sad for that, no matter how hard they're trying, they may be expressing empathy, but the Torah demands more than empathy. The Torah demands rachmanis, connecting the dots and connecting to the events that are happening around you. You have to realize that what's happening in Eretz Yisrael, before it came to America, before the anti-Semitism came back to America, what's happening in Eretz Yisrael to our brothers and sisters is happening to us. We're in the same rechem. We're in the same womb. This is our tragedy. And if it's our tragedy, it's also our fault. We are also culpable. We also bear the guilt of this situation. The empathy doesn't go far enough. We need rachmanus. A person's empathy can sometimes be apathy. Sometimes empathy, it's just an impediment. It's a distraction. A person feels bad, which makes them feel better about not relating to what's going on. The real call of the Torah, the real tzav hasha'a, the real darche ha'tshuva the Rambam's demanding of us, is not to feel bad. It's to do something. It's to do something. It's to change. It's to find where I might be at fault. Not directly, chas v'shalom. Not because you think something you did in particular relates to somebody. No. But the fact that we're all culpable. We've all gone astray. We all need to do tshuva. We all need to fix our ways. These feelings, these objectifications of sadness, of blowing the trumpets, of fasting a tainis tzibur, of davening more, of saying tilim, of those are all just expressions, objectifications of what we're supposed to be doing inside, internally, which is taking achzarius, feeling like this tzara is disconnected, getting rid, spurning that achzarius, and exhibiting rachmanus, connecting the dots, realizing that we're part of what's going on. We're part of the problem, and we have a role in the resolution. That's the call of the hour. That's what the Rambam's telling us. That's Hilchos Ta'anis. That's the call of the hour of what we're all going through right now. The rally tomorrow is one way to show that we're all part of this. We don't feel like it's something we have to send money to, that we have to go and be mechazik. We're part of this. We're in this together. That's true on the physical threat level, and it's true on the metaphysical level as well. We have to go home tonight. We have to go home every night. And we have to think, where can we point to Maisim Haroim that we're Gorim as a Dvar Ma'ilu? Where can we point to things in our lives that we can change that might cure and might prevent a tragedy of the tzibur? Where can we find those holes and how can we plug them? That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks of us. That's what the Rambam is describing to us. And anything short of that might be empathy, but it's an empathy of achzarius. It's a cruel empathy. It's a detached empathy. It's a disconnected empathy. We're not asked for empathy. We're asked for rachmanus. We're asked to see ourselves in situation, to connect to it, and b'siyat d'shmaya together to try to write it. So we all continue to daven, we all continue to pray, that b'siyat d'shmaya, we should spurn our achzarius, we shouldn't be estranged, we shouldn't be separate, we shouldn't be distinct, we should identify with what's going on and realize the part we play in it, and through the rachmanis that we exhibit, so we continue to daven, that HaKadosh Baruch Hamrachim, rachim aleinu.